Well, I've recently been reading a book. It's a bit of an old book now. It's by Ben Fogle and James Cracknell. Don't know if you're familiar. Ben Fogle is a slightly foppish TV presenter and James Cracknell is an Olympic gold medalist. And the book is about them rowing across the Atlantic together. Or to be more accurate, racing across the Atlantic together in a little dinghy. Maybe some of you have read that book or seen the TV documentary. It's an absolutely fascinating insight into two very, 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 very different individuals. Ben Fogle is human. His goal is to get across. Can you blame him? What an incredible achievement to be down the pub and to say, you know what? I've rowed across the Atlantic. How many people can say that? Would that not be more than enough for you? James Cracknell, he wants to win. He's not content with being down the pub and saying, you know what, I've rowed across the Atlantic Ocean. He's not interested. I think he'd almost rather sink than not win. He's an Olympic athlete. Winning has been all that he's known. And you have to be fair, don't you? You have to take your cap off to Ben Fogle for entertaining that idea. But then James Cracknell just takes it to another level. I wonder how you would have felt if you were Ben Fogle. You've got an Olympic gold medalist watching your every move. And who is he comparing you to? He's comparing you to, oh yeah, Steve Redgrave and Matthew Pinsent. Would you not feel just a little inadequate as his partner in this venture? And then there's an added dimension to the story, because it's all a bit last minute. They don't really know each other. Having just said about James Cracknell's previous rowing partners, Ben Fogle, when he sets out, can't row. And their preparations are thrown at the last minute. They arrive in La Gomera, which is just off Tenerife, which is the start line. And there are teams there that have been planning this for years. Planning for years, training, doing sort of the equivalent of the half marathon kind of, to build up to the full marathon kind of journey. They're highly experienced. And Ben and James are kind of winging it a bit. It's all really last minute. And yet, James still can't entertain anything other than winning. I wonder if you're instinctively a competitive kind of person, if there's a bit of Cracknell in there. I wonder if you're naturally quite driven and ambitious. It's a fact, isn't it, that we're all different. You can get two siblings, and one just has that sort of steely kind of, I am going to win. And another sibling, same environment, same genetic kind of makeup, same parenting, has a completely different outlook. And they're both really valuable, aren't they? Heaven help us if we're all James Cracknells. Can you imagine what it would be to live in a society where we were just kind of constantly shouting at each other and fist pumping and saying, come on! Can you imagine living in a society where we're all kind of just really relaxed and philosophical? Que sera, sera. What comes over loud and clear is that for James Cracknell, there can be a lot of collateral damage. His desire to compete, to win, can have costs. His wife is a saint. He pretty much goes off to fail to row across the Atlantic, pretty much not telling her he was going to do it. Oh, and she's got a newborn baby. He kind of just sort of got caught up in it and forgot to tell her that he'd be disappearing for months. Months on sea, and it's too late. I think if I were Ben Fogle, there'd be two things going through my mind. I think at some points I'd be thinking, how can I kill James Cracknell and get him off this boat? And then very quickly I'd be, but if I don't have James Cracknell on this boat, I am seriously in trouble. Plus, he's an Olympic athlete. How am I going to kill an Olympic athlete? So I think I'd jump overboard just to end it all. His eyes just watching me. One of the things that Ben Fogle said he found most difficult is they do it in shifts, and while one was rowing, the other one would be in a cabin sleeping. But what Ben knew was there was a little speedometer in the cabin, and he knew that James was just watching it, thinking murderous thoughts and watching it. Can you imagine trying to live up to the expectations of rowing with an Olympic gold medalist? It's pretty intense, isn't it? Well, this week we're exploring our monthly sermon series, exploring what it means to be a child of God. And I've called this sermon series Identity, because it's so important that we know who we are in Christ, who we are in God's eyes. We're daily bombarded with messages, aren't we, about what we should look like, what we should do and be. And it's very easy to end up in a complete identity crisis. You've got everything from sports brands to lifestyle magazines to technology companies telling you what is success, what is valuable, what you should do with your time. As Christians, we're called to keep it simple. We're followers of Jesus. That should be wonderfully freeing. There are many people out in this world who are sort of pulled in different directions. Do this, 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 this. We have it simple. Follow Jesus. Live and think his way. Simple. I'd like you to put your hands up if you feel like you're winning at the moment. In life, you feel like you're winning. Wow, there's a maybe-ish from Les. I think that's pretty honest, isn't it? Hands up if you're feeling pretty stretched. Yeah, a few more. Hesitant, are we allowed to say that? But there's a few more. Okay, don't put your hands up for this one. But who feels like they're drowning? Who feels like they're a bit lost? Who feels pressured, confused, trapped? Who feels like they're winning one day, and the next day it feels like someone just came along and ripped the carpet out from underneath you? If you feel any of those things, sometimes or regularly, congratulations, you are officially human. Breathe a sigh of relief. And know you're in the same boat. But as Christians, we're not just human. We're divine. Did you know that? You're not just human. You're divine. Now you may not feel very divine a lot of the time, and you could tell me many reasons why you're not. But I'm telling you, I'm a vicar. Look, I've got a piece of paper around my neck, a white thing. Means what I say means something. I'm telling you that you are divine. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that as Christians, as people who have said to Jesus, come and be in my life, we are changed. Our identity is changed. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, that's you and me, is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. The new is here in you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst, in you, in our fellowship? Notice this. That subject is in both of Paul's letters. So he's told them once, and then he has to tell them again. Isn't that reassuring? As we were thinking about, do I put my hand up for, am I victorious? Do I feel like I'm winning? We went, ooh. As we put our hand up about, I'm struggling, I get discouraged. Isn't it reassuring to know that the early church was in exactly the same boat? Every Christian has battled with this question of how do I live in this new identity? As a follower of Jesus, I am an overcomer. I am victorious, as we'll hear in our passage from John's letter. But I don't always feel like it. Most of the time, maybe, I don't feel like it. Well, let's turn to our reading from John's letter. You've got it in front of you. Verse 4 and 5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Those who believe in Jesus, that's us, are overcomers. Those who are born of God, as verse 1 puts it, those who are born again, those who have put their faith in Jesus, those who believe that Jesus died and rose again to give them a new start, a new life, are victorious. Are victorious. We are victorious. We are overcomers. So how do we connect this truth up with our reality of how we feel, of where our hand was with some of those questions that I gave us? Well, there are two levels of victory. There's the daily victory of keeping going, and there's the final victory, the glorious hope of one day crossing that finishing line and winning the race. To go back to James Cracknell and Ben Fogle, daily there is a victory of getting up and keeping rowing. And then there's the big picture victory of one day we will cross that finish line. I will never set foot in a boat again. We will crack open the champers. We will be restored to our family and we will celebrate. As they're in their boats, even as they face storms, even as they face waves, as they face the challenges of equipment breaking, of finding the willpower to just keep going, every day that they keep going is a victory. And every day gets them a little bit closer to that final victory. The glory, the final relief and celebration. So what do they have to do to overcome, to be victorious? Four simple things that they just had to keep doing in their boat. They have to eat. They have to drink. They have to hold their course. And they have to keep rowing. What does our reading from John's letter say? We as followers of Jesus have to do to overcome to be victorious. It's essentially the same things. Verse 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands aren't burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Essentially, the writer of the letter of this letter says, do the basics and you will be victorious. So what are the basics of being a follower of Jesus? What are the equivalents of eating, drinking, keeping our course, and keeping Rome? Well, it's loving God and keeping his commands. It says that in verse 3. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. As I said earlier, we're bombarded by, do this, live this way. If you can only have this, you will be content and happy. If you've got this much money in the bank, if you've achieved this much, if you have these qualifications, if... As followers of Jesus, we're called to keep it simple, to follow him, to live his way. And it's not burdensome. It's not a list of regulations which we slowly feel oppressed by. It's wonderfully free. It's so much better to follow Jesus, the way, the truth and the life, to be in a spin, running in different directions, to and fro, chasing this and chasing that. Here's just a few ways Jesus calls us to follow him. I'm sure you could add many other things to the list. Don't chase money. Don't let your possessions own you. Love others. Forgive others. Don't worry. Don't hold grudges. Don't lie. Treat relationships as precious, not disposable. Serve one agenda, one master. Keep it simple. Serve Jesus. Doesn't that sound simple and freeing and pure? Eat, drink, hold your course and keep rowing. Follow Jesus daily. Yes, there will be storms. Yes, we might see a big oil tanker coming frightening close to us and panic a bit. Yes, we will feel the challenges of working and living with others. The equivalent of being stuck in the boat with James Cracknell, feeling inadequate, feeling pressured, feeling got at, feeling frustrated if you're James Cracknell. Eat, drink, hold our course and keep rowing. Then you will be victorious. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So how can we as followers of Jesus live as overcomers? How can we overcome the challenges that you have in your mind as I'm speaking now? Well, let me give you four practical things. And they relate to those four titles. So question number one. Are you eating? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. God's word is our bread, it's our sustenance, it strengthens us and helps us to grow. Are you eating? Are you reading his word? Number two, are you drinking? Jesus said, I will give you water where you will never thirst again. He was talking of the Holy Spirit, of that renewal within us, that when we say yes to Jesus, when we receive his forgiveness, we are purified, that we can become temples of God's Holy Spirit. In the stresses and strains and challenges and patterns of your life, are you saying to the Holy Spirit, to the counselor, please help me, please empower me, please strengthen me today, please be with me in all that I face? So are you eating? Are you drinking? Number three, are you holding your course? Are you fixing your eyes on Jesus? Are you living with that final victory of eternal life as your ultimate goal? Or are you distracted by other things? What's most important to you? Is it living for heaven? Is it living for Jesus? Or is it something else? Hands on heart. Is it something else? And finally, are you keeping rowing? Are you keeping rowing? It is so tempting to chuck the oars aside and go, I give in. But where does that get you if you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? It's very real. Ben Fogle and James Cracknell very much experienced it. I think Ben Fogle very regularly thought about just chucking himself over the side. I quit. I can't do this anymore. Keep on rowing. Are you doing the basics? Are you praying? Are you making sure that you have regular fellowship with other Christians to encourage one another, to support one another? Are you fundamentally, are you trusting in Jesus? Or are you worrying and you're stressing? Jesus knew that we would face troubles, challenges in this life. But he died and rose again so that in those inevitable challenges, both the big ones and the small daily ones, we might be overcomers. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. As a follower of Jesus, I am an overcomer. I am victorious. Let's be still for a moment.